listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed, and I am not Paul Strolley today.
You are not, but you are a reasonable facsimile.
I am.
I think, yes.
I could be. I'm tall and good looking. That I know,
yeah.
Because you are.
Oh.
And you are Paul Strolley.
Ah, yes, and you need to get out more. You really do. How are you?
I'm Michael Sterling. Yeah. I'm good, Paul. Thank you. How are you?
I am good. I'm very excited. It's an all-twist Thursday.
It is an all-twist Thursday.
Very
big show opening in town, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
in Los Angeles this weekend, and it's a beautiful fall-like day today.
Autumnal.
Autumnal.
Word has lost all meaning.
Autumnal. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that word.
Really?
Well,
no,
perhaps.
But I'm an affected fop anyway. You know me. I don't know what it means. I just say it. We would like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
So, who do we have, Michael? Who do we have?
In studio today, Paul, we are delighted to have two performers who will open this weekend in the Sea Glass Theater production of the award-winning Dickens parody, A Christmas Twist. They are also both company members of Sea Glass, a theater company recently nominated as Favorite Theater Company in Los Angeles by BroadwayWorld.com, the biggest site in the world for all things Broadway and theater. Please welcome Jen Ray and Lauren McCormick. Hello, guys. How are you?
Welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're very excited about talking to you today.
Absolutely.
Because I haven't experienced enough Christmas Twist in the past 6 months. I need to talk about it more.
Get it out. We're going to be an open forum. Right?
And it's not only our production. In a few moments, we'll talk to Doug Armstrong, one of the authors and original cast members of A Christmas Twist.
What a talented man he is.
He is. And he'll chat about the process of how you lampoon great literature. But first, before we get to that, Michael, how was your week?
You know
was it
what?
Eventful?
It was not particularly eventful, Paul, but I'm just happy that we're kind of slipping out of that hot weather thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that we actually can feel like in a month from now it will be Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to rev up for that and figure out what I'm going to do, actually.
No.
What family member gets me this year?
you know that Loudon Wainwright song? It's a great thing about the holidays. It's called Suddenly It's Christmas.
I don't.
Yeah, and you just reminded me of it, because the lyric is, suddenly it's Christmas right after Halloween, forget about the Thanksgiving, that's just the buffet in between.
Oh,
it's just about how everything just goes straight from Halloween to Christmas ornaments and trees, which I hope is the case for us, because we're celebrating it a little early with our show. So
I think you'll be just fine.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun last night. We had almost a full house of students from Cal State Northridge. We do sort of a very informal sort of outreach thing with them through Doug Kayback, who's one of the associate producers of the show, and basically they get to come by and see the show, and then he talks about it in class, and we've just been delighted, and they were, you know, it's wonderful because they're 20-somethings, you know, and that's not even our target audience. And judging by their reaction last night, if the reaction from the 20-somethings is going to be that good, we're really looking forward to a lot of fun.
And they are an impressive group, I must say. That's, I think, a wonderful theater department out there. And the Mike Kerb School is also part of Northridge, which they are, you know, kind of siphons all of the arts through the Mike Kerb part of that university.
So. Gary Lennon is the chair that we're grateful to. And as I said, Doug Kayback. And, you know, it didn't really occur to us until last night, but we've basically pilfered our entire crew from there, because we have Lisa Farber, who's our stage manager. She attended the Cal State Northridge.
Right.
And then Travis Tai, who's our brilliant costume designer.
Yes, I saw his work.
And then also Eduardo Ortega is our board op, and he's from Cal State Northridge, too. So we're just grabbing the talent
all
as soon as they graduate.
All the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very exciting. And they're coming back this evening to your dress?
Yeah, we have another invited dress rehearsal tonight, and we have them. And then tomorrow is our first preview, and we're completely sold out.
Fantastic.
So So for the preview, we still have tickets left for our opening night and for Sunday's show, and we're actually going to give a couple of tickets away during the show today.
Awesome.
For opening night.
Well, it's
so,
a beautiful theater to be at.
Yeah,
so if you're
going
to go out this weekend, and we mm-hmm. hope you do, and we hope that you choose to go out to the Victory Theater Center.
Victory Theater Center in the Big Vic.
In Burbank.
We're moving on up. We get from the small Vic to the Big Vic. Next year we'll be in the super enormo Big Gulp Vic.
Oh, you
will? Yeah. Which is an extension we're actually building.
Drive-through
yes,
theater?
Yes, it's actually an extension we're building onto the theater. But anyway, give Doug his intro that
will.
He
I
is due.
I can't wait to hear this gentleman speak to us. On the phone today with us, ladies and gentlemen, a former illegitimate player, the renowned group of Chicago writers and performers who created some of the most indelible literary parodies ever. From their Tennessee Williams bashing The Glass Mendacity to the Steinbeck skewering of Grapes and Nuts to the latest production being produced by Sea Glass Theater here in Los Angeles, the Dickens dissecting A Christmas Twist. That's a lot of words to say.
I know.
I'm going to get you for this, Paul.
I saddled you with something.
Please
there.
Welcome two-time Emmy Award winner Doug Armstrong.
Doug! Hey, Doug, are you there?
Yes.
Hey,
hello.
How are you?
Good.
It's good to chat with you.
Hello, Doug.
Thank you for agreeing to
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not at all. Thank you for agreeing to be with us here. I wanted to have you on the air because I really think people would find it interesting because one of the things that we try when we talk about A Christmas Twist, we want to make sure that we let people know that it's not a parody of A Christmas Carol, but it's a sort of a parody of Dickens in general because it's A Christmas Carol and Oliver Twist. And I wanted you to share your thoughts on that process of melding those two stories and what that was like when you guys wrote it originally.
Well, we always worked with we always had a group of writers, and we would kind of split up assignments so that all of the writers didn't write script work on every show, but we all worked on the stories, and that was really the key. What we would do is decide on which literary works we were going to try to smash together, and then all get together and work out a tight outline, and that was really the hardest work of the show, because you have all the characters, you have to decide which characters you can include, which you have to lose, which might be composites.
But
we also like to double and triple cast our shows because we had a relatively small theater company and an even smaller dressing room. And honestly, which was at Victory Gardens Theater.
Yeah,
Victory
Gardens Theater. Yeah.
And so we would get together and try to figure out scene by scene how we could kind of marry the two or three works together,
right,
and come up with a tight outline. And at that point, we would come up with some of the major jokes, you know, as many as we could think of,
right,
and bits, and put the outline together. And then we would split up the work by scenes and go off and each of us write a scene or two and then come bring those back together and then work on them further.
I have to imagine that there were a number of beer-fueled evenings where you were watching the films of these literary pieces and just sort of with the notepad going crazy on how you could destroy that. I know that personally, I can't watch The Grapes of Wrath or A Christmas Carol anymore without just laughing out loud in all the wrong spots. Is that the case for you?
I know. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's where that's often where some of the best jokes came from.
Right.
Just everyone sitting around watching. Especially with something like The Grapes of Wrath, because it's such a serious work. You know,
right.
Steinbeck's, which makes it easier to parody. I mean, Dickens was actually one of the more difficult authors to parody because he's pretty funny.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, he doesn't take life entirely seriously, and he was a funny writer, too. So it's much easier to write a parody of someone who is very serious, like a Steinbeck.
Right.
But
or a Tennessee
Dickens
Williams.
Has such rich characters that it's still worth
right.
worth the fun.
Right. Lauren and I were talking before the show started. We were talking about because we did have great success when we did Of Grapes and Nuts 2 years ago. But this one is actually, I think, even more accessible to people because even though people know Grapes of Wrath and Of Mice and Men, many people know them, but everyone knows A Christmas Carol, and just about everyone knows Oliver Twist. So I think that we're really, really anxious to see that. And you guys are you're attending the show next week, right?
Yes, next Friday.
Oh, looking forward to it.
Can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. We're going to get to our in-studio guests here and talk more about Twist, but I wanted to thank you so much for chiming in for us, and we really look forward to seeing you at the show.
I do, too. Good luck with the production. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
It will. It's been fun so far.
I hear it's a comedy.
It is. Well, we're going to try it funny.
We'll let you decide that.
Some people play it funny. Some try to play it straight.
Yeah.
Tragedy. But,
Okay. Thanks,
works
Doug.
Works better funny.
Yeah, it does work better funny.
Thank you, sir.
Give my best to Maureen. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
See ya. Bye-bye. Great guy.
Yes.
Great guy. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Interested to have him on because I think that is a misconception a lot of people have. It's like, oh, it's a spoof of A Christmas Carol. It's so much richer than that.
Right.
You know, which was people pointed it out to us. The only reason I bring it up is because people brought it, you know, said it when we did Of Grapes and Nuts. They were just like, oh, we thought it was just Grapes of Wrath. And then all of a sudden, you know, the whole Of Mice and Men thing, because it's not really as telling in the title.
And it crosses over into the musical theater, a production of Oliver, I guess, too, right?
Right. Oh, there's elements of that in there, too.
Yeah.
So shall we get to our in-studios here?
I think we should.
Okay. Yeah. I will give her her due. Originally from Chicago, where she received her BFA in acting from Northern Illinois University. Our first guest spent 6 years performing in the Windy City with such companies as Circle Theater, Straw Dog Theater, Candlelight Forum Theater, and Borealis Theater Company. Her L.A. theater credits include Gail in Sunday on the Rocks, B.J. in An Adult Evening of Shel Silverstein, and Amy and Deborah in All in the Timing. Her most recent credits with Sea Glass Theater were Of Grapes and Nuts and Wonder of the World, portraying multiple characters in both shows. You've seen her on True Blood, Big Love, Gilmore Girls, and each week in her recurring role as Nancy Donahue on NBC's hit comedy, The Middle. This weekend, you can watch her live as she twists your Dickens. Please welcome Jen Ray.
OMG,
yes.
Why, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, Jen,
that sounds really impressive.
Doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it is.
Well,
I'm
just reading off the card you're holding up, Jen. That's all I can do.
That you brought with you, that you actually pinned to your beautiful black.
No one ever brought flashcards before.
My name is Jen Ray.
But
here's what I do.
I'm special.
And I know that you are just dreading doing the show because you hate Christmas. Isn't that right?
I mean, besides Lauren's wife, Melissa, who could compete with me, it is my all-time favorite time of the year.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
I will say, though, when you were talking earlier, Michael, about it being getting colder for Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago originally, and my first summer or my first Christmas out here, when it was like 70 degrees and people had those like blow up like Santas on the green grass, I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, they should not be allowed to sell those blow up things unless there's snow.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's just like, and everyone, you know, you like the snow. I mean, I like the snow back east. I like the snow in Chicago for a day. When it's pretty and white, and then when it's a big brown pile in the middle of the parking
lot. We come back here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know what?
What?
I have never, ever in my life seen it snow.
You never have?
I have been in the snow, but I've never seen it snow.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy,
that's crazy.
That's kind of tragic when you think about it.
It is a little odd, but no, I've traveled all over the world. I mean, certainly through this country many times and been in many places where it's the dead of winter.
Yeah.
I just was there not out the, on the day it was
going to
snow.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
You know what, Paul? We could take him to the Grove this Christmas time and
oh, no, he doesn't need to because he goes to Glendale Center Theater all the time where they do the snow outside for a Christmas carol.
We represent that theater and that's what they do.
Which, by the way, note to self, got to hand out some cards over there as they're leaving Christmas Carol. So you want us to mock what you just saw?
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
do that.
Exactly.
So, Jen, tell the listeners who you're playing in the show and and what just sort of give a little synopsis of your character.
Another sex symbol role, I assume.
Always. Never.
She actually
never
is in this, at least
happens.
For one scene. For one scene, you pull a little, you're a little naughty.
Yeah, for one line.
Yeah.
I am playing, which is so much fun, because when would a girl ever get to play this? It's a mixture of The Artful Dodger from Oliver and Annie, the original Annie.
Yes.
And so it's just kind of a melding of those two characters, and it's just been so fun to just play this kind of dirty, grounded,
Look at the way she's saying that.
I know. Face, I know. Like, you could tell she's just tearing into it.
Yeah. It's just so
and she's talking about Annie. She's not talking about the Artful Dodger.
Oh, dear Lord.
The character name, though, in terms of what Doug was saying about melding these two stories, I mean, I think Little Artful Annie is one of the great... That's the character name. Little Artful Annie is just a great little melding of the two.
Yeah. And it's just so much fun. And everybody in the show, I'm a little biased, but is so incredibly talented. So
we really did. We got lightning in a bottle with this cast. Yeah, I don't mind saying, because
we're
just
did.
A great great cast, and I'm gonna list them here. But if I forget anyone, I'll try. Of course, we have Lauren McCormick, who's playing Scrooge. We have Jen Ray, who's playing Little Artful Annie, and a caroler.
Yep.
We have Allison Blanchard, who is playing the Ghost of Christmas Present, and she's also a caroler. Kimberly Van Leeuwen, artistic director. She's Emily Cratchit and Libby.
Yep.
Isn't Allison also Belle?
She's also Belle. Yeah. Yes, thank you. And then we have Chris Wynn, who is playing Fagin. He's wearing a lot of hats. Fagin, Fuzzywig, and the Ghost of Christmas Future. David Reynolds, who was our Lenny in
Such
Of
a
Grapes
funny man.
And Nuts, he's back, and he's
Such a
Tiny
funny
Twist.
Man. Yeah.
Tiny Twist and Young Scrooge. And then we have David G. Perriam, who is playing Marley and the Gravedigger.
Mm-hmm.
And
he'll then be very proud that you would put the G in there.
I know, he said. Yeah. It's a union thing. And then there's Warren Davis, who's playing Cratchit. And who have I overlooked?
That would be you.
Oh, yes, and I'm playing Bumble. Warren. Yes, I'm playing there Bumble. You go. Yes. Did that cover everybody?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah. I think you did.
No. So, but do you find, Jen, with doing the two, like, which iconic thing do you think? I mean, obviously, you went more with the Artful Dodger because the Annie aspect of it is far less.
Yeah. But there's little sprinkles of the Annie in it throughout, which is kind of fun to play with the complete differences in those two characters.
Right.
So it'll be fun to see if people catch when those little moments of Annie is coming out in it.
Yeah.
A couple of them are pretty obvious. They should hopefully get a laugh, but you know. But yeah, it's been great. And then the other character that I'm doing with Allison is we're playing two carolers. And they're, how shall I say... Tone deaf?
Yeah. Oh, well, I tell you, that got a great reaction last night, because, you know, people just, they don't really know at the start of their scene that it's really supposed to be that bad.
Right.
And they're just like, they're sort of polite at first, and then when it all goes south, it's just like, oh man, that's just a disaster.
Jen, let me ask you a question. Now, as an actress and doing a piece like this, obviously it's coming with some very descriptive characters and which are very specific. And how much of this, as an actress, have you brought to the role yourself? And, I mean, you've got a wonderful director in Paul who understands comedy and this kind of material. And, it must be a beautiful marriage, Paul, with all of your actors.
You'd have to ask them that, because I don't know. I think they're just polite to me. I tend to be a little persnickety.
I don't know. What's great about the process for me, and I love working with Paul as a director because he knows comedy, but... I found in the beginning of the rehearsals that I was really bringing all of my ideas and myself, and then started watching Artful Dodger and Annie, and then started layering the stuff on top. So I really kind of felt like I built it from my instincts first, and then layered the iconic kind of sprinkles onto it with many little advice here and there from Paul, which was great.
And Jen was also, one of the things that really flavored her portrayal so well is the fact that she was very, right from the start of the rehearsal process, she brought in she had her own dialect coach, and she was getting the dialect down, pretty much earlier than anyone else on her own. We did it as a company on occasion, but we really wanted to make sure that there was uniformity to accents, because there's all sorts of different accents, because there's also different working classes, classes. You know, you have Cockney, you have cut glass, you know, upper class British and all that. And it astounds me, because Jen's like, I don't do accents. You've done accents in every show that we've done.
And was the dialect coach your coach or for the whole company?
Actually,
she became for
the whole company. Her name is Andrea Odinoff Fuller, and she's fabulous. She helped Lauren as well and coached with Paul, and then came in and did some notes for the whole cast, watched a run-through one night and did notes for the whole cast. She's fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah. Very she nice. Was great. So let's tell people how they can get tickets to this. So you want to tell them, or should
sure,
I tell
no,
them, Michael?
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
Well, first of all, of course, as we said earlier, it's at the Big Vic Theater at the Victory Theater Center, which is located, ladies and gentlemen, 3326 West Victory Boulevard in Burbank. Ample street parking, which is always nice, and it's available, with additional available parking at the Northwest Branch Library directly across the street from the Victory Theater. Cannot miss that. Performances of A Christmas Twist, blah, excuse me, will be presented Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 4 p.m., with the exception of this particular weekend, which is the opening weekend.
Right.
Saturday, November 10th, Sunday, the 11th, that's a 4 p.m. performance, the 10th, of course, being an 8 p.m. performance. And tickets are priced modestly at $30 and are available for purchase online. And that is Brown Paper Tickets.
No, do the Sea Glass one.
Oh, I'm
easier
sorry.
Easier to remember.
Forgive me.
Seaglasstheater.org.
Theater, yes, you're right. Seaglasstheater, that's with an R-E, .org, but it is Brown Paper Tickets that facilitates that.
Right, and if you go to seaglasstheater.org, we have all sorts of the local dining options are there.
That's
and
right.
There's actually more than one parking lot for off-street parking, and that's all notated there, too, because I'm an insomniac. So... How we
Gee,
address
really?
All of these different
Who would have ever
things.
Thought that?
Yeah. And we're going to actually give two tickets away.
Well, let's give a phone number out, too, also
sure.
for further information mm-hmm. about Sea Glass Theater and this production. Call 818-533-8441, or as we said, visit seaglasstheater.org.
And if you would like to win two tickets to A Christmas Twist for opening night, which is Saturday night at 8 o'clock. We're going to present a Dickens trivia question right now, and if you can answer it properly and be the seventh email that we receive at stateoftheartsla@gmail.com, stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. Matter of fact, not the seventh. Let's do this. The first email that comes in with the proper answer, that's what we'll do.
All right.
stateoftheartsla@gmail, the answer to the following question, which is, what was Scrooge's boss's name in A Christmas Carol? His boss when he was a young man.
I think I know.
Do you?
Mr. Grant? No, wrong show.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead. Would you give that to me again, please?
I think I know.
What's that?
Mr. Grant?
Okay.
Oh, no.
It's much better if I can actually do that without having to ask you to repeat the
Yeah, it is. Would be.
You know?
Yeah.
We should, before we get to Lauren, and of course, Jen will remain with us if you can, Jen.
Sticking around.
If you'd like
of course.
To. We should do our sweepstakes.
Yes.
So we can give away some stuff to a valued listener.
It is that time.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, for our State of the Arts sweepstakes sponsored by Breakdown Services. Each week we raffle off a different prize to a fan of State of the Arts. The prizes are furnished by Breakdown Services and include free yearly subscriptions to Casting About, casting agent directories, free video uploads for actors, headshot retouching, even a free year of unlimited submissions on Actors Access. Can't beat that.
No.
To enter, all you have to do is like us on our Facebook page by visiting facebook.com/stateoftheartsla. So, Paul, shall we roll that?
We should.
We should. That wheel.
Yeah.
Is that wheel
I know. Well, go ahead, say it. It's just the worst. It's the worst sound effect ever.
Who is the big winner, Paul?
It's just you pressing the sound effect that's making me laugh.
I'm not pressing it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm spinning this magical wheel.
I'm so sorry. I meant you should see the wheel behind you.
Keep the radio magic, Janet.
I think now that Disney's taken over Lucas, they're looking at you guys next.
Yeah. They're looking at us already.
They're looking.
I don't know if it's for a movie.
Round and round she goes. Today's winner is Christopher Meehan from Los Angeles. Angeles, California.
Wow.
He will receive unlimited submissions on Actors Access for a full year. Chris, if you're listening, congratulations. We will also alert you through our Facebook
Christopher
page.
Christopher Meehan.
Christopher the Shiv Meehan.
He is an actor in town and a very funny man.
He is. And he likes us, and hopefully he will like us on our Facebook page. So
awesome.
There we go.
Awesome.
There we go.
Yes,
so,
indeed. Well, that's exciting.
Leave us to introduce our next guest, won't you, Michael?
I will. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, began hanging around theater nearly 35 years ago. He studied acting at the St. Nicholas Theater Company in Chicago, founded by David Mamet and William Macy, and then appeared on stage in Chicago, L.A., and New York. As a member of the Chicago's as a member of Chicago's Griffin Theater Company. He performed in the Jeff Award-winning Riding the Dolphin and traveled to L.A. with that production. In L.A., he became a member of Virtual Theater Project, VTP, and originated roles in Cato McNichol's A Yankee Trader and in John Ayland's critically acclaimed Gray Area.
Great show.
Oh, I'm sorry?
A great show.
Oh, yes.
I'm just commenting on it.
Yeah. Anytime.
Go ahead and chime in.
Anytime. Yeah. He directed the world premieres of Elizabeth Appel's Confessions of a Catholic Child, which I saw and was wonderful.
Yeah.
I think it was the first time we met, actually. All right, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
And Josh Fagan's Gale Can See for 3 Days. Don't know where that happened to the other four, but yeah. Most recently, he was seen as Jim Casey and Pa Jode in a brilliant performance in Of Grapes and Nuts, and plays the plum role of Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Twist. Please welcome Lauren McCormick.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, nice. Thank you for the who there. That was fantastic.
We save that. Paul saves that. He picks very carefully.
I do. I do.
He plays a hell of an air guitar.
So yeah. I do. I have a face for radio. So, Lauren, you are blessed and not blessed in this. I was thinking about this because some of us who play the other characters, like Jen's is a hybrid of two characters, and mine is a hybrid of Bumble and also Scrooge's nephew from Christmas Carol. Bumble from Oliver Twist and Scrooge's nephew from Carol. But you're playing Scrooge, pretty much just Scrooge. And what has it been like for you in your preparation with this iconic character from literature?
Well, it's been very interesting. I haven't done quite the thought behind it that Jen Ray's given to hers. Listen, when you play an iconic character like that, I think you have to be very careful about not trying to do a reproduction of or an imitation of things that people are going to be familiar with. You just have to connect with those things that connect to you. And listen, there's Ebenezer Scrooge. There's a little bit of him in all of us anyway. So it's just about finding that aspect in yourself and playing up those parts. And so I haven't tried to worry too much about the fact that it's an iconic character. I just try to have a lot of fun with it and, find the truth in the moments and let the rest of it flow from there.
And it really is of course it's a comedy but we're playing it for the comedy, but there's a real journey that he goes on, even in this comedy, if we're adhering to the original story. I mean, there's a big, very story arc for him.
There absolutely is. He's a man who's deeply hurt and, he hasn't found a way to deal with it throughout his life, and it's obviously soured him in many ways, but that's not unlike a lot of people. And it's about finding the joy in giving. And when you find that, then you find the spirit of Christmas.
Right. Do you find the fact that you're playing him heroically gay to be a distraction, or do you think that... I found that choice to be a little odd. I don't know.
Well, listen, I think there's a little gay in all of it. And, I think it's time to start celebrating that, not apologize for it. And
yes, don't ask, don't Scrooge. Yes.
That's right.
I think that's
he's not playing
a very cool thing for you to say, even though that's not what he's really doing. Right.
It's not what he's really doing.
But I think it's cool for you to say that, Lauren. We know a little bit more about you now.
No, he's not. He's not. But the...
It doesn't matter if I am, or if I'm not.
I don't want to get letters.
Mystery is an important thing, and I would hope that all the viewers out there would never know whether I am.
Please don't send letters. Please.
Viewers who are listening today.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Well, I've seen this man's work, so he hardly can do anything wrong. So whatever you're bringing to this character, I am so excited to see this happen. Because you're looking great, at least what I've seen so far.
Well, right now I probably look a little bit like a meth addict from
I wasn't going to say that.
Scraggly little mutton chops and stuff.
No, but the mutton chops.
I love the mutton chops, Lauren.
Scrooge is Wolverine.
Yeah,
that's really.
If Wolverine hadn't been to a gym in 6 months.
You some of those contact lenses. And
How has that been for you physically? Because you do stoop a great deal, and you just, aging yourself for the role.
Yes, I have atrophied greatly in the last 4 months. Thank you for bringing that. And
yes.
Melissa, who Jen Ray brought up earlier, is enjoying it as well.
Yes. At Sea Glass, you give everything, including your posture.
Yeah. You have to donate everything to Seaglass.
Oh, my God. You put them are you responsible for that? Put them through the paces so much so that that's what happens?
I don't like to think of it as putting them through their paces. I prefer to think of it as I believe in being prepared. And yes. I do have a tendency to do things a little early and a little fast.
No kidding.
Just because. But, you know, I've heard wonderful things from the actors on this, which is that they're going in with a sense of comfort and confidence that they haven't had in a long time. They said, you know, the only person who doesn't know what to do backstage is me.
Paul's true.
Because I have no idea where to stand, because during rehearsals, when they weren't my scenes, I would run out in the audience direct from the stage. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where to stand. I'm in everyone's way. They're being very polite, but I could tell they're pretty pissed off.
Last night at our preview, I just heard invited dress rehearsal, I told Paul, just go sit in the front row and make your entrances from there. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, which is, it's very difficult at the end of the scene to not just, you know, step off the apron. And also, we should thank, collectively, we should thank Dave Perriam, because Dave, great actor, but also Dave is understudying Bumble. Mm-hmm. So that I was able to direct those scenes with having him up there playing the role for that, and helped immensely during tech.
Will he get to go on for a performance?
I've actually directed Paul, and I'm sure that directing David Perriam was a lot easier than directing Paul.
So why do you say that?
The process easier for all of us as well.
Gee, why do you say that?
Lauren doesn't.
He said knowingly.
Yes, I like that. He doesn't mince words. But you know, you said something about, you know, you doing things quickly and getting them out of the way, and listen, the whole Seaglass company, you're all really quite marvelous in that respect of getting it all done so ready for opening night in all levels, not only the performance, but everything that surrounds the actual opening of the production for the run. You're there, it's all together, the party that you give afterwards is beautifully orchestrated and thought out, and the way you handle tickets and the way that you basically just run the whole front of house and make it an experience for people coming into the theater to see a great piece of theater.
Well, thank you, Michael. That's very kind of you to say. We do appreciate it. A part of it is born of necessity, because there's seven of us,
right?
and only six active right now. It's mm-hmm. the smallest, I call it the smallest functioning theater company in the world. Mm-hmm. But to echo something that you said, and Jen, I think you should tell the listeners about this, because you're so familiar with it. The whole concept of event theater, one of the things that we tried to put in our mission statement when we created the company 5 years ago about what we try to do for audiences.
You know, we spent a year before we even, if I'm getting that right, 9 months to a year before we even put on one show, kind of forming the company that we wanted. And we'd all done theater for many, many years. And one of the things that we found is that we wanted to make sure that people were engaged the second they, as Kim Muller, our artistic director, always says, as soon as they open the car door and get out of their cars. And so you will walk into a very spirited lobby that is ready for you. And, you know, from the second, even before the show starts, we have an event that usually happens. I'm not going to tell you what it is this time. You'll have to come and see, but it's quite fun. And then always things going on at intermission. And then for opening, we have quite the soiree every year.
Yes, yes. Yeah. We have it's British-themed food, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Kim has taken over this. Her mother is...
And, you know, nothing brings them out like the culinary expertise of the Brits, let me tell you.
A good banger.
A good banger or a good mash. Yes, that should have been our tagline. Yeah. Come to get your Dickens twisted or get a banger.
Yeah.
The cuisine that demands a sense of humor.
and an acid.
Right.
You know, there's a new place that just opened up on Ventura Boulevard here in Sherman Oaks called the King's Row.
Really?
And it's all English food.
Really?
Yes, all British food, yeah.
And I would imagine pub-like and...
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice environment. It used to be the famous, famous restaurant, the La Serre, which became Pinot Bistro.
Right.
And then now Pinot Bistro, sadly, has gone by the wayside.
Had offices there once, didn't you, before you relocated?
Very close by, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because I remember the first time we met, that was where I went for lunch afterwards.
That's right.
Was Pinot Bistro.
That's right.
Yeah. Once again, we'll throw this out here before the end of the hour, too. Mm-hmm. This is A Christmas Twist, which opens this weekend, which is November 10th, at the Victory Theater Center. That is at 3326 West Victory Boulevard in beautiful downtown Burbank. I don't know if it's downtown Burbank, but it's beautiful Burbank. And for tickets, seaglasstheater.org. That's Seaglass Theater. Theater is the R-E spelling, .org. Or you can call us at 818-533-8441 and allow us to twist your Dickens. Be more than happy to do that for you.
But I'm sure you would. Lauren.
You just gave me the eye roll. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What are you in addition to theater, you do television? And
no.
You do not?
No, but I can't. I am appearing at the Coldwater Canyon exit on the 101 nightly between 5 and 7.
Is that you?
So if you see me out there, I'll be, you know, I've carried my own promotion materials there as well. So stop by and say hi.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was you at the exit.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, you do a little soft shoe there, don't you?
Oh, I do it all. whatever the audience wants, I'll do it.
So you're strictly theater.
Yeah.
Strictly theater. I have done some, industrials and things like that, and some.
I mean, so
but that's where your heart is.
But that was.
Do you not pursue television?
I haven't pursued it out here.
Oh, all right. Well, then that makes sense. Why you wouldn't have appeared on any, isn't it?
I'm not averse to it. I think it's a wonderful medium.
And
I love
everyone
watching
Jen Ray. Everyone should cast Lauren McCormick.
Yeah. Yes, they should.
He is fabulously talented.
He is.
Well, we'll just have to come and see him in the Christmas Twist.
That's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to this so much, because even though Lauren and I have worked on a lot of projects together, this is the first time we're on stage together.
This is the first time.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we haven't really had... I'm really enjoying these first couple of performances because I'm able to think about the acting rather than the directing. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that the cast is pretty grateful for that switch as well.
You know what else is fun with
that?
The cast is I went to college with David G. Perriam. And so we've known each other since we were both 18 years old.
Wow.
And this is our first time doing a show
that
together.
Long? Really?
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. I mean, of course, I've seen him and tons of things and vice versa, but this is the first show we've performed in together.
And this is his second. He always does that, or not always, but the holiday thing, mm-hmm. the reindeer, the eight
reindeer monologues.
He did that last year.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Very funny. Fun.
Very funny guy.
Jen, you of course are on one of the television's most popular series for the past couple of years, and second season or
we're
third.
In the fourth season.
Fourth season. Wow. Wow.
Yeah?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Time flies.
Yeah.
I don't get to watch that much TV, but I've certainly seen you on that show.
Thank you.
Are you as fulfilled as an actress doing that project, which obviously has brought you some cachet and certainly, you know, money and all of those things that come along with being on a TV series?
Isn't that what cachet is?
In some countries, yes.
Eat your cookie.
In France, it's cachet.
Yeah, right.
No, but I mean, you know what I mean? Does that bring you as much fulfillment as the stage?
It's certainly different, but I have to tell you, I drive onto that lot and I am ear to ear grin.
Like, do you go into your parking space with your name on it?
I don't have a parking space, but I park with everyone else there. But
well, Lauren can let you park at the Coldwater exit.
That's right. Just, you know. And he will put your name on that exit.
Yes.
The Jen Ray exit. That'll be it. Yeah.
But there's nothing. I mean, I grew up doing live theater, so that's, I think, probably has a special place in my heart. But there's nothing like, I love doing TV and film and being on a set. And I have to tell you, I'm, knock on wood, have been so fortunate that every single person on the set of The Middle is absolutely amazing. So sweet, so kind, mm-hmm. so generous, so welcoming every time. Anybody, even when someone comes on and has one line, everyone is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful set to be on.
So you have two families. You have your family on television, and you have your Seaglass family.
Yes, I do.
And that real family
and
in
my
Chicago.
Real family in
Chicago. Well, I meant two showbiz families.
Yeah.
And will they come to see A Christmas Twist?
I hope so. They've all been invited.
I think they better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If they don't, we'll be talking about it on this program.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because we talk about, you know, obviously I love the film and the TV thing, but it's interesting whenever we talk to people who have to compare film and television or are asked to compare them, rather, the word that keeps coming up for theater is immediacy. And it's just like there's something mm-hmm. about that energy and that fragility of what happens in that room will only be shared by the people who are there that night. It will never be identical. It will never be replicated. And I think that is probably, at least for me, I don't know how you feel about it, Lauren, but
absolutely. And what's wonderful about it, too, is that it's the one of the rare forms in which the audience is an equal participant mm-hmm. in that evening's production. And so everyone is different because of that. And
right.
that's also part of what we at Seaglass were, you know, very charged about doing, was making sure that the audience felt included in part of the production.
Right.
And,
And I think that's one of the reasons why we enjoy doing comedy so much, because, you know, with the drama, it's there too, but with a comedy, that the rest of your cast is in that audience. They're part of that process. They're part, and we just saw that certainly last night. It was the first time we really had anything more than a one or two people in the audience. It wasn't a designer who was watching it for other reasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. So to have that energy coming back in spades was just like, okay, now we know.
Well, doing comedy has kind of become your signature.
Because even Kvetch is a very very much a dark comedy,
right.
but a little more sinister. And Wonder right. of the World is a comedy, so yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
We like to laugh, and I will stand by my belief that to do comedy properly is infinitely more difficult.
I totally agree.
You know, we had a conversation last
recently.
Week about actors who are good actor actors
right.
are usually good dramatic actors, and it doesn't necessarily work the other way
exactly
around.
So here's a question I want to ask you boys. Lauren, you're such a good actor, you're such a good director. I've seen you do both. Paul, the same. Do you have a preference? Where do you like to live? Or do you just hope to live as both an actor and both a director?
I find acting is a lot more joyous for me.
Mm-hmm.
Directing is a little more heart-wrenching. I have more sleepless nights, and it's just the sense of, I think, even though you kind of have control in one way, you also have to give up control to the actors, and that's more of a challenge for me.
To give it up?
Yeah.
Huh.
So definitely,
I understand.
It's more joyous.
Yeah. I understand, because I too direct. I don't direct very often, but I do direct. And actually, I got a Broadway World nomination.
Did you really?
Yes, for Annie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, which I was very thrilled and pleased about. And yeah, so but
we'll
I
have to vote. We'll have to vote. BroadwayWorld.com.
That's
go
right.
there and vote for Michael. Michael yeah. and Seaglass. Seaglass and Michael. Let's call the whole thing off.
Best local musical theater production, but. So I understand that comment that you just made. It is kind of difficult in that sense to give it up, but you have to. And you also have to be able to walk away from the production once it's locked
yeah.
and know that there's going to be still some changes that are not necessarily authorized by you.
Yeah, well, that's what I had to sort of say to the cast. I said it in an email a couple of days ago, because it's even more heightened now that the director is also a cast member in the show.
Right.
And I have to walk away, and I have to let the show be theirs once the audience is there, because I also don't want the rest of my cast to be walking around feeling as though they're still being directed. They have to take possession of the show. In regard to the question that you asked Lauren earlier, it was interesting, because I hadn't directed in a long time, and then directed Grapes and Nuts 2 years ago, and I really thought that I was going to be, when that show opened, I was just going to be really angry that I wasn't on stage too, you know, because we are actors and we want to act, and I just thought it's going to open and it's going to do well because it's such a strong cast and I'm not going to be in it and I'm going to be missing out. And I didn't feel that way at all. I felt like the father in the stands when the son or daughter is playing in the game and doing very well. It's a different type of pride. You know, it's mm-hmm. you're just as engaged and you're there, but it's a different type of pride. And I really am just so blessed to have this situation, because I get to do both, you know, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And
well, I'll certainly say, you know, you have a great core of company members to work with
yeah.
who are very talented. And then those actors who are not necessarily members of your company, I know you're very particular about who comes in, who comes onto your stage. So
yeah.
they're equally as talented.
I was going to say that's one of the great things I think about Seaglass, too, is that we don't just cast within the company, and we really feature a lot of people in our shows who are not from the company. And we really embrace that. We come across some really great people. They make us better.
No.
You think about in Grapes and Nuts, Casey Kramer, of course, jumps to mind. She was absolutely
who got
brilliant.
A Broadway World nomination.
She did indeed, and it was well deserved.
It was well deserved.
Majo, yeah.
Single funniest moments I've ever seen on stage was her doing that Pretty Boy Floyd speech.
Yeah.
And David Reynolds, another
he's amazing.
Great actor who's also with us as Tiny Twist in this, and then Chris Wynn and Allison Blanchard coming in, and Dave Parriam. So I mean
Warren Davis.
Yeah, absolutely, as Cratchit. We're so lucky, and it's so good that we do that. It makes us a better company.
Yeah, and it is, and it's also you really raise the bar when you're in a theater company, and you say, you know what, being a company member does not guarantee you anything. And Jen, you commented on this, which I think was wonderful when we did the Indiegogo thing, that by wearing all of the different hats that we're forced to wear because we're a small theater company, there's an empathy that is developed within the company that you really can understand what other people are going through because you're wearing, three hats as well.
Yeah.
And, and I found that's a great unifying thing, too. We have to baptize them.
We do.
I wanted
to just ask you one question and kind of do a little shout-out for us to do this to this gentleman. When I was there for... just witnessing one of your nights of working in the theater, and you have a gentleman that's building your sets for you.
Right.
What is his name?
Scott LeGrand.
That's Scott LeGrand. What an amazing gentleman that is. And I say gentleman because that's exactly how he acted.
Oh, yeah. No, Scott has been with us for a couple of shows, and we had a very unique situation in here with the Victory because there was a great portion of a set that was remaining that was almost like a skeleton that we could work with and didn't have to build walls. So Scott had to sort of hobble this and put a fireplace in and a chair... or rather a bed, a table combination, and a rigged safe, and spinning pictures, and a door that closes by itself. And luckily, we had all of the original designs from Doug Armstrong, who we spoke to earlier, because in addition to writing it and being in it, he also
was the
set designer. Yeah. And but there are other, as great as Scott is doing, we should mention the other ones too. Efren Schunier, who has done an astounding sound design for us that is just unbelievable.
That's amazing.
And Susanna Wong, company member, who kicked us off with all of our props. And I mentioned Travis earlier.
Yep.
Yes, you
costume
did.
Costume designer, but yeah.
That's what I mean. The whole company, even those who are not on the stage but behind the scenes, they're all pretty amazingly talented and
good people.
Good people.
You want to go
exactly
to the theater and play with them.
And that was my impression of Scott when I met him. So
we one of the things we do at the end of the show is we always like to ask people about something that went wrong during performance. If you have an onstage embarrassing mishap or something, Jen, do you have anything that you can share?
I have many.
Yeah. what do you got?
I'll share with you a quick one, actually, because friends and I were laughing about it recently. My first show out of college was Alice in Wonderland. The dreams coming true. I played the White Rabbit and was in full, White Rabbit costume. And one day, just everyone on stage forgot every single line that was happening in the show. And I will admit I'm not exactly the best at improv, so I'm looking at the queen, and she's holding a flower, and I'm in this white rabbit costume, and I just said, sniff it up, queenie! And then everyone on the stage turned their backs to the audience and shoulders going up and down. So, yes.
And everyone knows that look.
Oh, yes.
Sniff it. What was the actual line?
I have no idea.
And if you said that same line in West Hollywood today, it would be a huge hit.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
right?
So that was one of my
Sniff It Up, Queenie.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a good one. But just to see, I'm the only one that's facing the audience now. Everyone's facing upstage, their shoulders laughing, could not stop laughing. It was terrible.
I think that line should be a permanent.
Do you have one?
Well, I do, but I think I'm going to take that. I'm going to create a sign that says Sniff It Up, Queenie, and I'm going to hang out in West Hollywood.
Lauren, it might be a little bit too big of a reaction for you.
Yes. You got 1 minute. Do you have one?
Well, actually, mine was in the last show. Was in the Grapes and Nuts show. We played very straight, and at the end of the show, there's a scene where Lenny is dying, and his final wish is to have a glass of milk, and there's, of course, there's no milk, and my character, Jim Casey, asked Ma Jode if we could raise poor Lenny to her nip. And which, of course, is what occurs in the actual book, and it was the most difficult thing we ever had to do. Casey Kramer and I could not meet eyes. In fact, we failed about 50% of the time, but the more we died in that moment and broke up, the more the audience loved it. And I think they just forgave us because the play had been so hysterical.
I also think it was, I used to get angry with them about that because I was like, it's not Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. But then it was sort of, it became clear to me about a third of the way through the run that it was such a release for the audience as well, because the people, even though they were laughing, the characters had been so stern for so long, and it just, the way it's written, and I never told them this, but I think that the original production, about 20 or 30% of the time, we broke too. It's too difficult. Yeah. It's too deadpan. It's looking directly at each other. It's far too difficult. Anyway,
well,
we have to go. It's a pleasure having both of you on.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure, Jen and Lauren. Thank you for joining us. But ladies and gentlemen, one more time, Big Vic Theater at the Victory Theater Center in Burbank. Tickets are easy to get. You simply go to Seaglass Theater. That's with theater R-E at the end of that word. Seaglasstheater.org or call 818-533-8441. And performance is open this weekend, November 10th and 11th. Runs through December 16th.
Yeah, Friday, Saturdays, and 8th.
Very excited.
Great.
Very excited.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Nice having you here. And Michael, look forward to sharing the mic with you next week.
You bet. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.